Bang, bang.
Hello and welcome to Fang Bangers Podcast, where chaotic horny friends rewatching the chaotic horny HBO series True Blood. I'm Tasia.
And I'm Melissa.
And this week we are discussing Season 2, Episode 2, Keep This Party Going. This episode originally aired on June 21st, 2009. It was written by Brian Buckner and directed by Michael Lehman. I'm thinking like we should start paying attention to who's doing the directing and the writing, because we've heard Michael Lehman come up a few times, so mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to track like their journey through the show as well.
Yeah, I would. I smell a spreadsheet.
Yeah. We definitely have room for more spreadsheets.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the limit does not exist.
You're right. All right, so we have, as usual, our summary from Wiki. Having kissed and made up, Sookie and Bill's relationship seems stronger than ever. Bill still has the problem of Jessica, who is proving to be just a little bit of a wild child. Clan leader Eric, interesting wording there, Northman, wants to use Sookie's services again. Feeling guilty about her role in having Jessica made into a vampire, Sookie agrees to take her to her home where she promises she just wants to see her parents and sister one more time. Things get out of hand when she jumps out of the car and she and Sookie are soon paying a visit. So sorry. It's left to an outraged Bill to resolve everything. Jason attends a leadership seminar run by the Fellowship of the Sun Church and makes quite a first impression. Marianne visits Sam Erlott's bar with interesting effects. She also reminds Sam of just who is the most powerful between them. Lafayette manages to escape from Eric's dungeon, but unable to get completely away, suggests an alternate way out of his cat. Let me try that sentence again, sorry. Lafayette manages to escape from Eric's dungeon, but unable to get away completely, suggests an alternate way out to his captors. That's quite an episode. We're back on track, I feel like.
Yeah, things are definitely... This is like a pun now because of what happens in the episode, but I was going to say things are moving and grooving now. My number one first impression of this episode is twofold. It's like, even though we watched the episode last week and we saw Lafayette in that dungeon, I was still just like blocking out the rest of what happened in the dungeon because I was like shocked by those scenes this week, which is funny because I've seen this a couple times. Yeah. And then we get Eric's final form. So I feel like this is like a first impression episode with Eric's haircut and him calling Bill old sport.
Yeah. That is a really good point that this is like our Eric final form. And I love that it comes to be because he's got too much blood in his hair. And the whole like, oh, Pam's going to kill me. Like, he's like, I already apologized. It's just so good. And I love that it's like just kind of a little peek into that relationship. And like, no spoilers, but that relationship is incredibly important to me throughout this entire show. And I just, I love that little peek into it and how their dynamic works.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, I'm reading the book also. The book is called Living Dead in Dallas. And when I pulled it up on my Kindle for season two, I was like, man, I don't remember any of this. Like, even when Elise was saying on the other episode that there's like two main plots in this season, I was like, I don't remember what the other one is. But it's like we get a taste of that in this season. Like,
yeah,
we have heard the word Dallas. We've heard the word Godric. So like we are very much in the season now. Mm-hmm. And it's time to find out like what's going to happen to our friends.
Yeah, this I feel like this whole season is so good. And I mean like both of those plots, because they may or may not converge at the end. I don't really remember, but I know that like both of these parts of this season, like it's such a strong season.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, like we're going to talk like later in the season really about the differences in the book, but both of these plots seem to be in the book as well, which I sort of thought also when Elise said that, I kind of thought like, oh, maybe one of them is just made up wholesale for the show because we've got so many more characters getting fully fleshed out and getting their own storylines. But no, like both of these things are definitely in the book. So,
yeah, I'll be honest. Exciting. I read the whole series, but I don't remember the Fellowship of the Sun, like Jason plot being in the books, but it, I mean, it must be. But I do remember really like, I think because I remember.
I
really
actually don't remember that either.
I remember really liking this book and all like everything that happens in Dallas. It's like a really great like mystery running through this whole book. And so I think because I liked all of the Dallas stuff so much and I loved all of the like Eric stuff that I don't recall like any other plot points from the book.
I think it is worth remembering that the book series that the show is based on was originally called like the Southern Vampire Chronicles or something like the. Mm-hmm. I think that they're kind of just retconned just to be like the Sookie Stackhouse Chronicles or the Sookie, you know, series or whatever. But the Southern Mysteries or, you know, whatever that was, the books were definitely like originally marketed as being like mysteries around vampires. So
Right. Yeah.
It's worth remembering that like maybe we'll get like a main mystery every season.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Should we move into plot stuff?
Yes.
All right. So I guess we could just go down the line here. So Tara, Eggs, and Marianne. It really kind of broke my heart when Tara. Well, first of all, I love that scene where Tara and Sookie are in the bathroom together, kind of like catching each other up, and like it feels like we get so little of them having like good relationship mm-hmm. moments these days because. Things have been so contentious since Bill came into the picture. And so a lot of like what we know about Sookie and Tara's relationship is that it has been really strong in the past and that they're very close, but like almost everything we've seen so far has been them like fighting. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to have that moment where they're just kind of like happy to be around each other and catching each other up on their lives. And Tara isn't being judgmental about the vampire stuff. And Sookie's inviting Tara to live with her, which I mean, should have happened ages ago, but like she caught up, so that's good. And it kind of breaks my heart that Tara's like telling her about the Marianne stuff, about her like reservations, because she does feel like it might be too good to be true, and oh, it hurts.
Yeah, it really does. And Sookie is just so cute, like coming into the bar to like pull Tara away to do just like girl talk, and mm-hmm. it's nice to see them together. It's interesting. I don't think I had really like realized fully that Sookie hadn't met Marianne, so we got to see them meeting, and Marianne calls Sookie infamous, which I just think is funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interestingly, Sookie notes that Marianne is thinking in a different language and not an easily recognizable one.
I cannot get a read on your accent, and I assume. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just an assumption. I assume that Marianne. Really can tell when someone is special.
Yeah.
Or, you know, paranormal or whatever, preternatural.
That's a really good point I hadn't thought about when I was watching the episode, but you're totally right. I bet she does know about Sookie.
I bet she can smell it.
Mm-hmm. Or smell the other on her.
Yes. And speaking of smells, Tara tells Eggs in this episode that he smells nasty and nice at the same time, and that she would take a shower in his sweat. And then she's like, tell me about your life. I don't know. I don't know anything about you.
To be fair to Tara, she's looking at Eggs when this happens. And that is not a difficult person to look at.
And I mean, I think that this is great for her because she does have shit taste in men. So if mm-hmm. she wants to actually figure out what somebody's about before, as she says, you know, putting the cart before the horse, I think that that is great. And then Eggs decides to again come into her workplace and mm-hmm. have these conversations while she's on the clock. And like at this time, she's like, I'm really busy. And he's like, it's fine. I just want to like have a personal conversation. It's just like, again, it's like this guy's really charming and like Marianne is there doing Marianne stuff. So it's not, I don't think it was like Eggs leaving the house being like, I'm going to go bother Tara at work and tell her I want to be with her. Yeah. Marianne was like, I'm going to go to Merlot's. Do you want to go see Tara? And Eggs is like, yeah. And I'm going to tell her I want to be with her. So it's like not, it's not like malicious on his part, but it is just like two times in a row, sir.
He's not great at reading rooms.
Like, just because you don't have a job.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's funny because, like, at first it's kind of red flaggy that, you know, she's like, hey, like, tell me a little bit about your life. And he's like, well, why do we got to – people take years to learn about each other. It's like, well, now
– I mean, yeah, do like, they?
I don't think they do.
Not, like, the basic stuff.
Right,
like,
yeah.
The things he tells her are, like, formative. So it's like you were going to wait for 3 years to tell her about anything about your life or past.
Yeah, exactly. But – yeah, so he decides, it feels almost like he's wanting to have these conversations in large crowds because, I don't know, maybe it's kind of like a protective barrier.
Yeah, I can see that.
It kind of prevents like that like immediate intimacy. But yeah, and I mean, I get it. Like when you have a colorful past that, you know, like laying that all out on the table for people is very, you know, that doesn't feel very good. But, you know, at the same time, people have a right to know before they get emotionally involved with you.
I mean, he could have started somewhere else. He could have started with, like, his legit childhood and then been like, yeah, like, I went on a strayed path. But it's like he didn't have to go immediately to, like, jail.
Right.
That's like that's him. That's on him.
Yeah.
This is not in any of our categories, but I just wanted to shout out Arlene and Terry again being cute together. This time Arlene helping Terry in the kitchen because he's overwhelmed and he needs a break. And I just love the way that her accent sounds when she's like, give me your tongs.
Oh my god,
she says it like four different times.
That was almost going to be yeah, that was almost going to be my blood type today was the way Arlene says tongs.
Oh my god, fabulous. I love that.
It's so good.
I'm gonna stop trying because I cannot imitate it.
I really wanted to, but I was like, no, you're gonna absolutely butcher it, so I won't. But
it's really sweet, Arlene, I mean, back there in the kitchen, you know, flipping chicken fingers or whatever.
Yeah.
Poor Daphne. I mean, the girl cannot hack it.
Oh,
and Marianne gives her a pep talk, so that's nice, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was painful to watch Daphne fumbling around that entire shift. Painful.
All the food is going to table four.
Yeah.
What is going on at table four? And it's like, I would like to be Marianne when I grow up. I would love to just sit for hours eating everything on the menu. And then starting an inappropriate dance party, like, it's incredible.
Yeah,
I understand her and Sam have a history, but from my perspective, like, as a patron of Merlot's, like, her vibes are impeccable. I don't know what to tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Like we know, like, we are supposed to be very suspicious of Marianne. We've seen some, like, hinky shit going down. But, like, if I'm a resident of Bon Temps, I am immediately wanting to be her best friend.
You know she shares that food.
Yeah, like she's such a vibe. I'm so sorry about my voice. Hold on. and from our perspective right now, what it seems like, Marianne's power is like mostly, like primarily kind of just hedonism. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much here for that. Like I would like to join this party.
Yeah, and it's like Sam and Marianne's history is very complicated, and so I would like to just acknowledge that I know that before I make this next quip. But it's like Sam crossed her, and I would not do that. So from my perspective, me and Marianne could be cool forever.
Right.
So far.
I mean, and we find out like the actual number here too, like $100,000, you know. Maybe
no
she's
wonder
not,
Sam's sweating.
Right. Like maybe it's not so out of place that she shows up and like throws a party in his establishment that she paid for, basically.
Paid for?
Yeah. Also, just like that scene where like she like obviously Sam drags her back to his office to like lecture her, yell at her, whatever. And she starts vibrating at him, and he transforms uncontrollably back into his dog form. And then she, like, kneels down and is, like, giving this threatening speech to this dog. And, like, we know in the moment it's Sam, and it's like, oh, this is, like, threatening. This is scary. But like, I'm just imagining like the shooting of that scene where this actress is like kneeling down on the ground and like making threats to a dog who is just sitting there. Like, I don't know why.
A dog sitting there wearing a button up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's still wearing a button up. It's so funny.
This is how I know I could never be an actor. Like, I could never pull it together for that.
Right. Well, and she, yeah, so she can force him to change. So that is, that's a scary power. I mean, vampires are scary because they can eat you and, like, that's bad. But they can't, like, do this, so.
Yeah, and they're also out of the closet. You know, they're out of the coffin. Sam is not. So Marianne having this in her pocket at any time that she could just out him like this, and then he would become, you know, it would be worse than if he were revealed to be a vampire, because people have at least gotten a little bit used to the idea of vampires. Mm-hmm. That he would be something completely just outside of their realm of understanding.
Well, she had to vibe him into a dog to punish him for saying the word gyrating.
That's fair.
Because this is a family establishment. You can't be nearly having sex on the pool tables. Like, you can't. I like that we get to get a idea of what's going on here, that Marianne's vibe is infecting everybody. Because Tara calls out the woman who's just a regular drunk at the bar. Jane Bohouse, and is like, what has gotten into you? Normally you are waiting for people to hit on you. Like, why are you being so forward? And then we see her on the dance floor and her eyes are like all blacked out. So
yeah,
that's spooky.
It is really spooky. And that's like our first real kind of like, we've gotten like the suspicious vibes from Marianne, but like, this is the first time that I recall when I first watched it being like, oh shit. Like, yeah. There's something really, really bad happening here.
There is something, like, extremely frightening about stories where having too much fun, like, goes wrong. Like, mm-hmm. this wrong. Like, yeah. I think maybe just for me, because I've mentioned already several times that I just, like, love to be in bars drinking and having like dance parties, that it's like, oh, this could happen to me. Like, yeah. I could immediately like,
yeah, it is like also the subject of like so many stories historically and today, mm-hmm. and everything, where it's like, you know Dionysus, all the hedonism, all of that, it comes back to bite you. And it's like, it's scary because it is a complete lack. It's almost, it's like being possessed, right? It's a complete lack of control, mm-hmm. where your body is doing things. And that's how it can feel sometimes when you're out partying and you're drunk, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, it is kind of a fine line where you start being like, oh, this is like,
yes, it's dangerous. Always, it's fun. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's fun until it's not fun. And by that mm-hmm. point, it's too late. Like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that's like what's happening to the people.
Yeah.
In Merlot's, and the people that are under Marianne's spell, or maybe they ate her food. Like, we don't really know how her power works, but I can imagine Merlot's isn't usually this busy. And if it is, maybe the people are just sitting in booths. They're not out. Mm-hmm. They're not mingling. So I can imagine at the beginning of this, people were like, oh, I'm feeling amazing today. I'm going to socialize. And then
we saw like Arlene out in the crowd dancing, like, you know,
and technically we haven't seen anything bad happen yet, but it's like, she can control people's bodies. She like puts people up in her house. She turns their eyes pitch black. So mm-hmm. it's all adding up to something that is probably not great.
Right. Yeah. And I think a really like notable thing that happened too was Andy just minutes ago talking to Sam being like, I will literally never dance again in my life. Like, somebody said that yeah. was like an epileptic on meth, and like, I will never do it again. You could never catch me dead. And like 10 minutes later, he's on the dance floor,
mm-hmm.
having some sort of convulsions. But yeah.
And like, I would love for Andy to like get over his insecurities mm-hmm. and just dance like no one's watching. But this isn't the way.
Yeah. And this is like obviously not under his own, you know, he mm-hmm. may be drunk, but he's never gotten up and danced before, and he's been drunk for a while, so
yeah,
this is clearly not of his own volition.
I wonder how, what's the word I'm looking? Like, I wonder how forceful Marianne's going to be in, like, the next episode or two trying to get Tara to not move in with Sookie.
Yeah, because we definitely,
like, how far can you really push that? Because Tara and Sookie have been best friends forever. This is, it's not like Tara and Letty Mae. Like, the right. wedge is, you know, I would nearly say at the end of this episode, like, there isn't a wedge between Sookie right. and Tara, and
she's gonna have to create one, and that sucks because we just got them getting
that
along.
That does suck. That does suck.
Yeah, and you know she's gonna do whatever she can to keep Tara like under her influence. Mm-hmm. So that means that she's gonna be like poisoning Tara against Sookie, which sucks, man. We just got them to get along again.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Well, do we have any more thoughts about Marianne, Sam,
the whole I don't think so.
Okay. Shall we move on to Jason?
Yeah, Church Camp Jason.
Him, like, not knowing the words to all of their, like, dumb God songs and, like, pretending he does, like, trying to sing, oh, my God. The secondhand embarrassment that I get from Jason sometimes is pretty intense.
I know. And you said that, like, yeah, him singing along, because these songs are embarrassing for one. They're like, I'm so sorry to people who grew up going to church camp who are listening to this podcast now. But like the church songs are already embarrassing. Like, I've sang my fair share of them. I'll admit to that. But like, it's cringe to begin with. And then they're turning them into like vampire racism songs.
Oh, my God.
It's like, it's horrible. And I'm like, Jason is singing this and this is bad, but at least this man didn't have to do like group study and abstinence to get invited to this church camp. Like,
so funny. He's like, a couple years of like strict Bible study, abstinence, praying every day, writing, you know, applying and being rejected. And he's all, oh, 2 days. 2 days
I
decided this.
With Steve yeah. and Sarah.
Yeah, I have yeah. my note here is literally just this God stuff is also cringe. It physically hurts because like that oh. girl's song. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh. That I'm like this. It brings to mind Saved, which is a positive thing because I love that movie. And like Mandy Moore plays that character in that movie. And like if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's just incredible. And it's just, like, the biggest megachurch vibes. And also, mm-hmm. I feel like this, like, pop star, like, virgin, like, sexy Christian girl is, like, so mid-2000s.
I was going to say, it's so of its time. Like, this is Jonas Brothers yes. time. Like, purity ring. Yes. Like,
I wore a purity ring. I mean, they friggin' got me, to be honest, not for that long. But still, like, it happened.
Yeah,
it's... Yeah, this song is so bad. I kind of want to pull an MP3 of it and put it at the end of the episode, but we'll see.
Oh, my God. Please do. It's so bad. And that's what's so good about this, though, is that it's like painful to watch. And I just want to like bury my head in the sand and not watch it. But it's so effective. Like, it's so like you know, like you've been there. You've seen this performance.
They're so
before.
Into like, it. And by they, I mean... grown-ups. Like, Jason's mm-hmm. a fucking adult. Like,
yeah,
it was one thing when this stuff was having this effect on me when I was like 13 and I was away from my house for a week for the first time in my whole entire life, but like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Newland looks like a fucking dork with his t-shirt like over his collared shirt, and it's like stuck on the collar. They didn't even like adjust it. And just and like standing next to Anna Camp while Sarah Anna Camp Newland is like watching Jason do a physical activity. I mean, it's horrible for everyone involved,
and like
including us.
And like, bless this actor. But like, I can never take him seriously in any, because he just has that face. He's just a fucking dork. Like, I'm so sorry to this man. But like, he's in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and. Yeah, just
fucking dork.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, now that you mention it, I do remember
Yeah, he's
him.
One of the lawyers. He's the one that gets the vibrator in the bathroom song.
Oh, God. Yeah, like a fucking dork.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. he's just really good at it, I guess. But But yeah, that's what makes this show so great, is that it is so campy, but it is like, it's so accurate to whatever it's portraying. I mean, it's like barely an exaggeration. It's still an exaggeration, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. like barely, like it's still recognizable.
Mm-hmm. I was cackling out loud by myself watching this flag football scene where Jason's got his shirt off and they are playing like just the snippets of God Bless Texas, where the guy mm-hmm. is like, God bless Texas. And it is just so fucking funny. Like, I love that this show, well, the show couldn't have used like country music that was of 2009 because it all sucked, but it is fun that it's like using country music that I liked when I was growing up on country and like before all country music turned into pop music. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. Because every time it like plays one of these songs, I'm like, oh my God, I love this. And then the context is always hilarious.
And Sarah Newland like visibly sweating while watching Jason yes. play flat. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Steve Newland honestly is just a dummy, because I don't know why he put Jason and his wife in close proximity again, but he did it. That's his fault. And we get to see Sarah Newland's vampire teeth. He has a supreme lack
of, like, self-awareness, or, like, just awareness of, like, anything.
Yes. He probably thinks that, like, his wife actually doesn't possess like a sexual urge. Like, he probably just doesn't it doesn't even phase him, or it's not even in consideration that
those churchy mm-hmm. like conservative dudes, they, you know, women fall into two categories. It's the Madonna or it's the whore, right? So mm-hmm. Any woman that you marry is going to be this upstanding like paragon of virtue and like light and goodness and zero sexuality. That's why these guys end up, you know, sleeping with like sex workers, or sleeping, you know, going around behind their backs, because mm-hmm. they don't see their wives as sexual people. They see them as like, this is mom. This is like my mother figure. This is my, you know, this is like this untouchable kind of paragon mm-hmm. of like virtue. So yeah, he probably does not ascribe any kind of sexuality to her whatsoever.
But that's a problem, because Jason has just saved her from a vampire attack. No, saved someone. Jason almost just killed her as a vampire, and she loved it.
I was going to say, what? Yeah, she clearly had some sort of feeling about that. There was an awakening.
And she had her fake vampire teeth in. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I loved it.
I wonder what Sarah went home and Googled that night.
Yeah. I'm on like a mental sidetrack of like what a good joke would be right there, but I can't come up with one. Jason has like flashbacks to the Eddie incident, and that's like pretty sad, because if he wasn't surrounded by these nut jobs, I think that like this introspection could lead him into the right direction, but that is not what's happening.
If you could have gone to therapy instead of church, like, what could we have been saved this season?
I mean, just an evergreen sentiment, to be honest.
Right. Exactly. he is clearly traumatized from everything, and rightfully so, understandably so. He's clearly traumatized by everything that he witnessed, experienced, partook of last season, and you know, you can really see, and I think they're doing a good job of trying to keep Jason, like, even though he's doing absolute bonkers, banana, stupid shit, as always, keeping him likable, or, like, you know, you feel compassion for him, because you do kind of understand, like, he was in mm-hmm. jail. Like, they approached him at his weakest point, and they just, mm-hmm. they got that hook at him.
Mm-hmm. And now there's, like, hot ladies around. I mean, it's going to be difficult to get Jason out of this church.
Virginal hot ladies that are, like, making eyes at him. Oh, God.
Yeah. And he has an honesty ring now.
At least they didn't give him a purity ring.
No shit. Like, I actually can't accept that.
Yeah, that would, like, strain believability that Jason would ever accept a purity ring. Because you could see, like, the look on his face when Luke talks about going abstinent for years. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a note in this scene about, like, oh, I can't believe you broke the American flag to, like, stake the bad vampire. And there's, like, some Islamophobia in this episode, which is interesting considering we talked about some, like, bad race stuff last episode. It's just not a wonderful time for not hearing that stuff on TV.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. Do we have any more thoughts about the Fellowship of the Sun?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do kind of have that girl's, like, Jesus asked me out on a date song stuck in my head, which is just so unfortunate.
I have God Bless Texas stuck in my head. So, no, we're in good company. We're in good company here.
Yeah, so
oh god, a girl on a stage being like trying to be overtly sexy while singing about Jesus. It's horrible. It does something to my brain that is like bad. It's a bad thing.
I have this thing where the acceptability for me for an adult woman in pigtails is very specific. Like pigtail braids, space buns, like these are acceptable, but one of the like worst, most cringy things to me is like when an adult woman has her hair in pigtails, like specifically trying to invoke like sexy children. I cannot deal with it. It's so bad. And she even mentions the braids in her song.
Yeah, the whole song is like she's, I think the first line is something like, oh, I'm your baby girl. Like, ugh, like no.
Yeah, it's
why
gross.
Do they're trying to infantilize themselves while being overtly sexy at the same time, which is just a combination that is not good. We don't want that combination.
No, it's really difficult to do.
That's a bad association. Stop making it. All right, shall we move on to Lafayette, Eric, Pam, etc.?
Yes. We did already mention these lines, but Eric asking Lafayette, like, is there blood in my hair? And Lafayette being obviously scared out of his wits is like, what? Pam's going to kill me. And even later when they're in the office, Eric is like, I said I was sorry, Pam. And then he looks at Lafayette and is like, defend me.
It's like Eric's like 1,000 years so old much. And like afraid of Pam.
Yes. Oh, incredible. But yeah, I mean, they're trying to figure out what Lafayette knows. And he's like,
he's so,
I don't know
smart.
What happened for real. I think it's Jason, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't blame him for a second for dropping Jason's name in that situation, because Jason did do that.
And yeah. It's very interesting. Pam and Eric discuss in another language that Sookie is too important to them to risk going after Jason. Mm-hmm. I find that interesting.
Yeah, because we don't really understand why, aside from her, like, mind.
Right. And, like, we do know that, like, Godric is missing at this point. So it could just be that. But it's just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they never solved a mystery without a telepathic human before. I mean,
right.
How did
like,
you live
for
1,000 years?
For 1,000 years, right. I also love, like, not even the implication, but Eric admitting, he's like, oh, I saw your website. It's pretty low rent. But, like, just imagining Eric sitting down, like, browsing through Lafayette's website, watching his
just
dance
perusing.
Videos.
Just
perusing. Yeah. It's so good.
He probably saw the video of Jason in the George Bush mask.
Oh my
or whoever
God.
It was.
He probably did.
Yeah. Eric throwing like that severed leg is just an image that really sticks with a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad, or at least I hope, that we're done with the dungeon, because.
Yeah. No, it's. Oh my God. Lafayette, like, scooting down to the torso of that guy and digging that hip, that like metal hip.
Yeah.
Out of that guy was fucking dark. Like he had to like bite teeth. It out. As yeah. Oh no.
But I mean that is just minutes after we hear Lafayette be like, "I'm a survivor first, so like mm-hmm. I'm gonna get out of here." And he nearly makes it.
He handles that entire situation really well. I think from the interview to his like. Trying to convince them to turn them. And he's like, he's pulling up his spreadsheets. He's got a PowerPoint. And mm-hmm. he's like, this is why mm-hmm. I would make a great vampire. Why you should turn me. Like, I believe him.
I would be yeah. your badass vampire. He says mm-hmm. I damn near glamour people already, which I was like, and that is does. A great point. A great he point. Does. Absolutely no notes. I loved when he asked Ginger, when he runs into Ginger, he's like, you're human, right? And she's like, kinda.
Ginger... Bless her. She is. She's like. He's like. He won't shoot me. She shoots him. Just starts losing her shit and apologizing.
She
and
says her like holy iconic fucker.
Her like I fucking hate guns and like throwing it away.
Oh,
poor Ginger. She's an icon. Poor Ginger. I just have one more note here, which is just, and it's not even like with this whole Fantasia scene, but it's later when Eric walks up on Bill while he's shopping for Jessica's clothes in a tracksuit.
I love notes.
No notes. Yeah, that's it. Just tracksuit Eric. That's all.
Tracksuit Eric. They all eat Lafayette. TBD if somebody sleeps in the ground with him, but they do all eat him.
And see, like, this is maybe spoiling our cliffhanger ranking later, but, like, that is the cliffhanger that would have ranked. That one would have ranked high. The one,
that's
you know,
a
no
good point.
But this one is very meh to me. I think the Lafayette cliffhanger. That one would have ranked high.
Yeah, especially because Eric is like, we'll think about it. But, like, we're going to think about it after we drain you, and you're going to hope we plant you in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree.
All right.
Actually, I do have one more note on this, which is that when they're talking about Godric, Eric is like, he is so powerful. He is so much more, like, a better vampire than I'll ever be. And Pam's like, this isn't the time to be humble. And Eric's like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, that's just straight up true. So, how could somebody have gotten this man? Maybe he's just missing it on purpose. Sookie's going to find out.
Twice the age of Eric. And clearly someone that Eric, like, hero worships. So, mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. very interested. I mean, you know, obviously I've seen the show before. I know who Godric is. But, yeah, I'm excited to... find out more about him and get to know him again.
Yes. And that was the end.
That's all I can say about Godric, or else I'm going to start feeling things.
Don't set her off.
No, don't. All right, Sookie, Bill, and Jessica?
Yes. Now Jessica remembers Sookie remembers that Jessica has vampire ears, which is something that we were concerned about last week. And she waited, we have no idea how many rounds, until being like, oh my God, do you think she heard us?
And then going
you
again.
Idiot.
What I do like about this show is that we get those kind of like really nice domestic scenes of mm-hmm. like the pillow talk. The Sookie and mm-hmm. Bill pillow talk is really good, because that's the kind of stuff that makes me believe that they're in love. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
so many shows or books or whatever, it's like, oh, you see this person and you're just like instantly drawn to them, which is absolutely Bill and Sookie. Like that happens from the get. But I really like these pillow talk moments because I'm like, okay, well, like that informs that like love for me, because like I don't buy it when you're just like, oh, he can't hear my thoughts, so I am obsessed with him now. But like, yeah, I like or, it feels like more like a real relationship.
Yeah. Well, and they're like discussing serious things in like a very low-key, relaxed manner, which I think
it feels just really speaks natural. To what
you're saying, which is that like they're in a real relationship and they work through things together. They're discussing the similarities and differences between being a new vampire and a teenage girl, which like I do sort of I am sort of on Sookie's side, which is this like, don't act like this is completely foreign to me. Like, obviously I've never had essentially superpowers, but I have lost my humanity, gone through an overwhelming transformation, like been unable to control my impulses. Like, yes, that and is, so, these are the qualities of a teenage girl.
Exactly, because he's so quick to like discount her input in this conversation. He's like, oh, you wouldn't understand. You're not a vampire. You've never been. It's like, just because she hasn't had this exact precise experience does not mean that she doesn't understand the thought processes of a teenage girl better than Bill Compton, 150 something year old vampire, does. You know, like,
yeah, I think what, and like it comes to bear that Sookie is like wrong, if you want to word it like that, that this is a little more serious than just being a teenage girl. However, I think it's like, I want to push back harder against Bill being like, she's not a teenage girl, she's a vampire. I'm like, actually, she's both those things. She's not either. She's not or. Like, she, being a vampire does not preclude you from being a teenage girl, because, like, she never became an adult. So if you want her to act right, she's going to have to become an adult, which involves growing out of being a teenage girl. Like, come on, Bill. Like, you're supposed to be hundreds of years old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just just him thinking that Sookie has nothing to offer in this conversation, when really she and Jessica have more in common than Jessica and Bill do. And Sookie probably understands a lot more about Jessica than Bill ever could.
They've both seen the sunlight in this century.
They're both modern women. You know what I mean? Like, they both, their experiences are much more aligned than Jessica's and Bill's are. Jessica's been a vampire for 5 minutes. She's been a girl in the 21st century for a lot longer than that. So
something that kind of grates on me about Bill's characterization this time through, as we're like talking about every episode, is that it's like, I kind of lost where I was going with this. Well, we'll just cut me starting to say that, and if I think about it, I'll just say it again.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think, and like, what Sookie does by taking Jessica to, I mean, it's very naive of her, but in Sookie's defense, like, if Jessica's dad had not shown up and immediately gone, like, violent, like, I think Jessica could have had just a pleasant goodbye scene with her family and moved on. But her dad's a piece of shit, and honestly, whatever is coming to him, he deserves, so I don't feel that bad about it. And I think the way that Bill, like, comes in there super hot, and the way that he comes in there treating Sookie, I think, is a little bit out of hand. I don't think. She did something dumb and a little naive, but, like, telling her to shut up and, like, get out and this is all your fault. Like, I
think
this,
like, is all very, your fault.
And if he had been there, if he had been willing and open to giving Jessica what she needed to move on, then it wouldn't have escalated to this. But he wasn't there. He wasn't willing to hear that. So Sookie had to do it. And then Sookie doesn't have the ability to control Jessica like Bill can. Like, Bill could have done this for her, and they could have done it in a way that nobody would have gotten hurt, and probably they wouldn't have even gone into the house.
Yeah, but, and, like, Bill already knew that Sookie wasn't taking Jessica's impulse control as seriously as he thought was necessary. So why leave them alone together? Like, that is just dumb. And, like, so you can go shopping for things for Jessica without her? Like, why don't you just treat her like a real person? I thought she was not a teenager. I thought she was an adult vampire. Like, so you don't think she wants to pick out her own clothes? Like, I don't know. Bill's a weirdo. I think this is what I was going to say earlier, which is that I just find it so hard to believe that Bill acts like he's never talked to, like, an adult woman. Like, specifically what you said, like, an adult modern woman in his life. But I'm also supposed to believe that he was, like, carrying on partying with this nest of vampires and, like, having worldly adventures, being, like, an eating everybody, like, cool vampire guy. It's just, like, that stuff does not, like,
gel. Yeah, and he's got this, like, conservative, old-fashioned persona, which, fair, he's old. He's from the Civil War era. But he, again, has obviously, like, been around the block, been around a lot of different kinds of women, has seen the evolution of, like, you know, women's rights and all kinds of stuff, you know? So, like, why are you old-fashioned about what she's wearing? Like, we've seen the crowds you run with. Why are you, like, the paternalistic, like, shit with him and Jessica is just weird because it's, like, it seems focused entirely on her and not anywhere else. Like, he doesn't treat other women in his life like that. So, what the fuck?
And he always says Jessica. So aggressive.
How are you gonna, like, infantilize this girl and then also expect her to be, like, a mature adult?
Jessica.
Like, those behavior problems are, like, really just your fault. Also, I love Jessica's impression of Bill. Like, Jessica, I have errands to run, errands which do not require your presence. The way she is, it's so funny. Because that's absolutely Bill.
She has spent like a week with this man and she already has him down to a T. Like, you're just not that interesting, Bill. I'm sorry. You don't have that much going on.
He's such like a caricature. He's so dumb. Like, in the store when he's shopping and the lady is like hitting on him and figures out that he's a vampire, he goes, I am vampire. Like, shut up.
She's just throwing it right at him, too. And then she's like, oh, you don't want to sleep with me in the dressing room because you and Vampire Eric are gay together. I get it. And it's just like, lady, I just... But yeah, Eric wants to take Sookie across state lines, which they specifically mention... Which just feels so weird to me. Like, I just do not like them specifying that. It just has, like, a real trafficking vibe. And he wants to take her to Dallas to find Godric. And Bill's like, you can't. And Eric is like, you played this badly.
Yeah, and he did. But, I mean, just asking his permission in the first place is weird. Like, she's an adult woman. Don't
and
ask for boyfriend's permission.
Sookie made the deal with Eric.
Yeah.
Go talk to whatever, these men. I don't know.
Yeah, what I find it hard to believe here is that Eric even, I mean, he says, like, I'm only asking you out of respect. I find it hard to believe that Eric even respects Bill enough to do that.
But we do know that Eric does have respect for, like, these vampire, like, inter-community, like, what's, just, like, norms, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, like, vampire culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't really know if I have...
I don't think I have anything else.
Me either. I mean, it can't really be overstated, like, how horrible Jessica's adventure home is. Like, her home life was really bad. Like, it's, like, insinuated that her dad, like, hit her with a belt. And she's, like, saying things like, oh, now I'll show you what it feels like to be scared. So it's just, like, I continue to believe that Jessica's better off this way. And, like, I'm really excited for her. And I think we should get her little sister, too. Not turn her into a vampire, obviously. But like, just out of that situation. And, like, get her mom, too, to be honest. Like, everybody get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because the mom is clearly, like, you know, if she's not interfering with, like, the abuse that her husband is inflicting on her children, then she's complicit and she needs to be out of the picture as well. But yeah, because I mean, that's kind of where shit really escalated, right? Was when Jessica looked at her little sister and was like, you know, like you see her have that moment of like, I cannot let him continue to do this. I cannot let him do this to my sister. Because we see her like feeling really regretful earlier in the episode when she talks about how mean she was to her little sister.
Oh, so, it's really hard to be sisters when you're young.
Yeah.
I can't imagine in like a dynamic like this, so.
And she, it shows, I think, that she's maturing already. Even, yeah, she's trying to kill her dad, but like, now she's not doing it for herself or for revenge. She's doing it to protect her sister. And she acknowledges, like, I was a shitty sister before. I was really mean. And, like, she's maturing a little bit. So, you know, I say let her kill her dad. That's the tack I'm taking.
So say us all. And that's the cliffhanger. I mean, we're going to find out, I guess, next week what Bill's going to do about this. Dun, dun, dun. Bill's here.
Speaking of cliffhangers, shall we rate this one?
Yes. Rank that cliffhanger. Rank that cliffhanger. It's not really that cliffhangery. Yeah.
It's not. And it definitely feels like one of those things where it's like that dun dun dun, what am I gonna do, I'm gonna deal with this, but like he's probably just gonna glamour everybody and they're all gonna
move. Yeah, it's like not it's, that it's exciting nothing.
Right.
It basically so, no go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say I would rank it low, so I don't know where yeah you...
I would rank it low as well, and I honestly think that like it should be maybe like the new number 13 and just push our lowest ranking down, which is Bill biting Sookie during sex, which is just like I can't think of anything that was more predictable in the show, so it's like that will never be anything higher than the lowest clip unless they just drop this bit at some point, like
yeah. All right, so should we put this at the second to last then?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I like that.
I concede. Or not concede, I agree. I don't know what words mean. All right, so we did get a couple of new characters this week. We got Luke McDonald, not of the restaurant or farm fame.
right? And-
That he didn't get that. Like, that's one of, like, the rarest times that you will see, like, Jason make a joke and somebody else doesn't get it. Like, y'all are sharing a brain cell. Like, half of one. It's
so true.
So we get Luke McDonald, and he's very just, I mean, he wanted to be friends with Jason and then immediately was threatened by him. So there's that. And then we have Jane Bohouse, who is apparently has just been chilling somewhere in the background being drunk this whole time.
Just a regular drunk. Oh, yeah. Now she's like, you know, now she's on the party train. So we'll see what the world has in store for old Jane.
Yeah. All right. Chaotic. That's what we're here for. What's your most chaotic?
Yeah, for me, it's just like Daphne at work. Daphne trying to have a job. Daphne can't do her side work. Daphne can't tell the tables apart. Daphne runs into Sam with a whole entire tray full of food.
Oh my God. yeah, she is like the very definition of chaotic at work. Very stressful. I think I'm going to go with the entire like play act that they do at this church camp where Jason ends up breaking an American flag pole to stab it in the heart of vampire Sarah Newlin while she is like deeply turned on by this whole experience. So
yeah she loves
that's,
it.
That's gonna take it for me.
That is chaos. Speaking of the horny church camp. yeah.
go ahead.
My horniness is Jessica and her new vampire vengeance. Like, I know that you shouldn't kill your dad, but I just love her turning the tables on him. I'm sure it just, like, she's going to have some stuff to work through, but I just know that moment felt so good.
Yeah. I stand with Jessica. Mine is Sarah Newland looking at Jason Stackhouse like he's a ribeye steak and she hasn't eaten in a month. I'm excited to see where this goes because it's got to go somewhere. She is not very subtle.
Yeah, no, not at all. I already mentioned some stuff from the book, to be honest. Nothing that I've read in the book has happened in the show so far. So that is just going to remain on a back burner for a later date.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't really have any spoilery thoughts yet either. So I think that means we did it.
I think we did. How exciting.
Oh my God. Good for us.
Yeah. So I am on the internet. On Blue Sky and Letterboxd at Mellow Yellow.
She sure is. You can find me on most things at Ragey Cakes. And you can find the podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky, etc. at Fangbangers Pod. And you can email us your chaotic corny thoughts on True Blood, please, to fangbangerspod@gmail.com. Thank you, as always, to DJ Empirical for our incredible theme. And yes. I'm Tasia, and my blood type is pussylover9@gmail.com.
And I'm Melissa, and my blood type is comparing makeup sex with you thought I was dead sex.
Bye.
Bye.